We're in our third Sunday of Advent, and we've been doing a little series leading up to Christmas on the themes of Advent. And it's the theme of joy today. So we're talking about joy in the waiting. And I think it's so fascinating even how all the pieces of the service have come together, the message of the kids, the songs that we sang this morning, the things that we've already heard and thought and talked about. Because we're in this time that is, it's an interesting time. We're between things in a lot of ways. There's things that have happened, there's things that are going to happen, but we're kind of in the middle of those things. And as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, we find that Christ arrives in these three different ways. We, of course, celebrate that Christ came over 2,000 years ago. He arrived on earth, and that was joy to the world. But we also look ahead, even as we sang today, from Christmas, we look ahead to the cross, to the resurrection, but we also look ahead to the return of Christ, his second coming, which has not yet happened. We're waiting for that to happen. We know it's going to happen, but it has not yet happened. And in the midst of all of this, celebrating, anticipating Christmas morning, Christ with us, the message of all that means that God came to earth, fully God, fully man, to be with his people. We wait for that message that we celebrate on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. We look ahead to the resurrection. We look ahead to the second coming. But as we talked about in Advent this morning, sometimes amidst the hustle and bustle of the season, the last minute shopping, getting the food ready, getting ready for guests, getting ready to go away, whatever you might be doing this Christmas season, sometimes lost in the hustle and the bustle of the season is the message that Christ is here right now. That he didn't just arrive as a baby 2,000 years ago. It's not just that he's coming in the future, although those things are incredibly important. It's that he is here right now. Christ arrives with us here today. And it's easy to get caught up in all of the things that are going on around us, looking to what has happened, looking ahead to what's going to happen. But this Christmas, I would encourage you to think about Christ with you today, right here, right now. How is Christ arriving in your life here, today, this Christmas? This season, how is he with you? What is he speaking into your life? And over the last couple of weeks, both Pastor Nathan and Pastor Matt mentioned this, that between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, there's about a 400-year gap where God was silent. The prophets spoke, they gave their messages, many of them told about Jesus, that he was going to come, but then silence for 400 years. And God prepared the way for Christ to come. It wasn't that he was doing nothing, it's just that it looked different than maybe people thought it would. He was getting things ready. History was moving towards a point that was the fullness of time, the time that God had prepared for Jesus to arrive. And the theme of joy runs throughout the Christmas story as we look at it. The message that Elizabeth would be pregnant with the boy who would become John the Baptist, it was great joy. That was the message, that was the news, that was how it was received, that she would receive a miraculous pregnancy beyond physical possibility. It was great joy. John the Baptist announced Jesus who was coming. And I don't know, sometimes we can gloss over these little details when we're reading the Christmas story. Maybe it's so familiar. Maybe you've read it dozens to hundreds of times. Sometimes it's easy to miss the little details, the things that are going on. But when Elizabeth is pregnant, so she's 6 months pregnant, then Mary receives a message that she is going to be pregnant with Jesus. And when Elizabeth and Mary meet, what happens? The boy that Elizabeth is pregnant with jumps for joy in the womb because spiritually, he has already met Jesus. He knows what is happening through the Holy Spirit. And he reacts with joy. Can you imagine that? A six-month-old baby in the womb meets Jesus, who is tiny, tiny little baby also in the womb, and he knows what is happening spiritually and reacts with joy. The response to meeting Jesus is joy. And then, of course, Jesus is actually born on the night that we celebrate as Christmas. And in Luke 2, we read it this morning. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." The response, the message of Christmas is joy. This good news is going to bring great joy to all people. And a little while later, the wise men meet Jesus. They've traveled from far away. Their reaction to meeting Jesus is joy. They are so excited to meet him. And this joy, it's not simply a moment of happiness. It's not just that people were excited to meet Jesus, although certainly they were, but this joy is more so a state of being that is brought about by the message that Jesus brings, the message of salvation. The gospel is good news. We receive our joy from the message that Jesus brings. It's not a momentary thing. It lasts throughout eternity. It's this thing that goes beyond just feeling a moment of happiness. It goes to who we are, what Christ has promised, what he has told us. And this message is joy. And we alluded to it earlier as we sang that the message of joy didn't just stop at Christmas, but it led forward to the cross. And 33 years after he was born, Jesus went to the cross. He died and he rose again. We see the fulfillment of the message that he spoke. And as I was looking at this, what does it tell us in Hebrews? It says that Jesus would go to the cross for the joy set before him. That Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. That's not happiness. He wasn't happy to go to the cross. We know that. Physically, he was dreading it. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That message of joy resonated throughout his life. This resurrection joy leads to our hope in the arrival of Christ, his second coming, his return to earth. As we talked about in the other messages of Advent, that we have hope that Jesus is returning. We have hope in his promises. We understand that he's going to fulfill what he said he would do. We talked about Christ meeting us in the moment today. Author Tish Harrison Warren says this about Advent and the celebration. "In Advent, we take time to reflect on how Jesus, whom the people of Israel longed for, meets us today. We look at the places in our own lives where we yearn for Christ to come, places where we need hope, encouragement, help, and deliverance." And Advent reminds us that a lot of times life is about waiting. We're waiting for things to happen. We're waiting for God's plan. We're waiting to see what he's going to do. And we read through the Christmas story, and you know, you can read through it in a few minutes. But throughout that story is encapsulated so much else that is going on. Going right back to the beginning, Elizabeth was waiting. She wanted a child, And physically, she was already past the age where she could have children. She had waited her whole life for a child, and it hadn't happened. She was waiting for God to move. She was waiting for a miracle. And even the story of Jesus, you know, we can skim through it fairly quickly. You read the Gospels in a few hours, but it's 33 years, and Matt alluded to this, that, you know, Jesus didn't just show up on earth, boom, 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 a bunch of things happened, he was born, and it took 30 years for him to get ready for his ministry. Even then, you know, the Messiah is on earth, and in human terms, we kind of think, like, if you're watching a movie, it's things build up, and then it happens super fast, right? There's this all this action, and things go down, the plot line comes together, and there's all this drama, this baby Jesus shows up on earth, the shepherds are rejoicing, the wise men come, and then things kind of go quiet for about 30 years as Jesus grows up and leads into his ministry. And then we have the Gospels and the story of Jesus and all that comes with it. And as we're thinking about this, sometimes we're in such a hurry for things to happen that we forget to stop and enjoy what's going on around us right now, to savor the moments, to recognize where Christ is with us right now. And Mary's response to what happened in her life is interesting because it says that Mary pondered these events in her heart and thought about them often. And there's the song, right? Mary, did you know? And it kind of implies like maybe she didn't know, but I kind of think she did. I think she knew a lot of what was going on. And I think she probably had a deeper understanding of what was happening than maybe sometimes we give her credit for. Because there's all these crazy things going on around her. There's this excitement, this hype, you know, like random shepherds are showing up to see her newborn baby. Like, I've seen a couple of kids be born, and it's like, you probably don't want a bunch of random shepherds showing up in the birth room and like, hey, let's see the baby. Like, probably not what you're thinking right then, right? But Mary just kind of sits back and she thinks about these things. She ponders them in her heart. She thinks about what's going on, what it means. She's just kind of taking it all in and reflecting on it. And as we read at the beginning of the service, the quote from Practicing the Way Advent Meditations, it says, yes, Christ is coming, but in Mary's story, we discover that he's also already here. And that's what Mary discovered. It wasn't just that she was looking forward to what was going to happen in Jesus' life, and she probably didn't know the fullness of what that meant at the time, but she knew that Christ was there right now. And she pondered these things and thought about them, reflected on them. And as the Advent season, sometimes we just get stuck in the anticipation, the looking forward. It's we lead up to Christmas. That becomes the theme, right? Everything leads up to Christmas, getting ready, buying the presents, getting the food. It's all about Christmas Day, the event itself. But Advent is also about taking time, as Mary did, to ponder, to reflect, to look at what's going on in the season around Christmas and the anticipation, the waiting, the events that are leading up to the moment that we're looking forward to. And like Mary, we're invited to ponder these things in our hearts as we carry the presence of Christ in each season and in every place of need. So I ask you today, what are you pondering this season? What are you thinking about? What are you reflecting on? What's going on in your heart? What is Christ doing in your life right now? How is Christ with you today? Because the events that Mary was pondering began with a promise and a miracle that was planted in her womb. That miracle took time to grow. And it began with God's promise that was given thousands of years before. And I'll ask, what promises has God planted in your heart? What things is he speaking to you? And it can be tricky because we have, maybe you've got dreams in your heart, maybe you've got something that's been planted in your heart, and you're wondering, when is this thing going to grow? When is it going to happen? I'm waiting. God, what are you doing? What are you up to in this world that we live in? But God has planted those seeds in our hearts. And if God has planted them, he is fully capable of bringing them to life and them growing. And joy is found as we look to the promises of God and find our trust in him. Practicing the way it says, joy is living in the delight of what God is going to do as much as what he already is. It's not based on what we experience today, but on who God is and what he has said he will do. And that's where we live in this time between we celebrating what God has done, looking ahead to what he is going to do, and recognizing that he's with us right now. And in Advent, we've already experienced the impossible twice. Elizabeth receives a miraculous pregnancy beyond physical possibility. Mary receives a miraculous pregnancy beyond physical possibility. And God plants these babies in the womb as seeds of his promise that are going to come to earth and fulfill these prophecies that were given so many years before. And even when joy seems impossible, God breaks through. Both of these pregnancies were not physically possible, but that didn't matter to God. God is able to do the impossible. And as we think about Christmas, we think about what's going on this season. Maybe there's something that God has planted in your heart. Maybe there's something that you're pondering. Maybe there's something that you're waiting for and you're wondering, when is God going to do this? We don't always know the timing of what God is, when he's going to do things, but we know that he is going to do things. And that he is good. The hope of Advent, the joy of Advent, it's not hope in the sense of like, well, you know, I hope I win the lottery. That's wishful thinking, right? That's different. The hope of Advent is a knowledge that God is going to fulfill his promises, knowing that it is going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we know that it is going to happen. We have the promises of God in the Bible throughout history, and you can see as you read the Bible, God gives promises, he fulfills them. He gives promises, he fulfills them. It's often not in the timing that the people thought it would be. It's sometimes not in the way that people thought it would happen, but God does it. He fulfills the promise. And as we wait, even when we don't see God working or we don't feel like we see God working, it doesn't seem like there's anything happening, just as we talked about that period of 400 years where it didn't seem like God was doing anything. But quietly, behind the scenes, God was preparing the way for the Savior who was going to come. The people didn't necessarily see it in that moment, going all the way back to the Old Testament. Abraham, for example, he didn't see the promise physically, but God gave it to him, and it was going to happen, and it did happen, even though it took time. So as you're waiting today, we're a week from Christmas Eve. Next Sunday, we celebrate Christmas Eve, and then we get into Christmas. The anticipation is building for that final countdown. kids are ready to dive into some presents. But as you're waiting for this last week, as we go through the week, I just encourage you, as Mary did, take these things, take the events of your life, the circumstance that you find yourself in, and ponder them. What is God speaking to you? What is God doing right now? What is Christ doing in the moment that we find ourselves in? How is he meeting us right here today? And it's interesting that when God breaks through, we have a choice in how we respond. We can't control whether God breaks through or not, because he's going to do what he is going to do, and that is beyond human control, fortunately, because if it was up to us, it probably wouldn't turn out as well. But God's going to do what he's going to do. But as people, we are given choices, and we have a choice in how we respond to what happens. We look at Elizabeth, for example. She received the news with joy. We look at Mary, and we've talked about it. You've heard sermons about it, but just the circumstances, the shock of the events, pregnancy outside of wedlock in that time and era, especially shocking, dramatic, life-changing. Probably, you know, a lot of people, if they were in that situation, would run away, would not want to do it, would have no part of it. Joseph was concerned about how things were going to look, what was going on. But both Joseph and Mary had the courage to see God's promise through, to see what he was going to do. Mary responded, and she accepted God's word to her. She accepted what God was going to do through her and received it and was excited by what God was doing. But not everyone who noticed the arrival of Jesus responded with joy. There's people in the Bible who certainly were not happy to see Jesus. We see Herod. He didn't respond in joy. He responded in fear. He was threatened by Jesus. He was worried about this king who might unseat him. Others responded with indifference. They didn't care too much about what Jesus was doing. Some of the religious establishment were threatened again by Jesus. Not everyone responded in joy to Jesus. Although the message is joy, remains joy to this day, it's good news, not everyone responds in joy. So when God breaks through, how are you going to respond? When God speaks into your life, what is your response going to be? Because God does speak. And God is going to break through, and God is going to do miracles. God is going to do things that are beyond the physical, that are beyond the possibilities that we see. But we get to choose how we respond. We can't stop God's work. We can't change it, but we can respond. We can receive it with joy, like many did, but our response is not foreordained. We get to choose. We get to respond to what God is doing in this world. When God breaks through, will we resist the movement of God? Will we try to make our own way in the world, doing our own thing on our own timing? Or will we respond in hope and in joy? I love this quote from Tish Harrison Warren about Advent. She says, "In Advent, we wait with Israel in the past, we wait for Christ in the present, and we wait for his final coming in the future." And she says about her own experience, "My yearly practice of waiting on these three comings of Christ shows me that I often forget how to wait on the Lord. I begin to believe I am the master and maker of my own life. I begin to believe that joy is self-made through my own ingenuity and hard work. I begin to believe that the things I most long for are within my grasp if I can only master the mad task of controlling my own life. I begin to believe I am the engineer of my own deliverance." And into these fevered deceptions, Advent comes each year and quietly asks me to pause, to remember that we do not bring the kingdom of God to the world through our own effort or on our own timeline. We wait for one outside of us and outside of time. We wait for the coming King. I think it's such a beautiful reflection on the message of Advent, the season of Advent. And it's in God's timing that the miracle happens. It's going to happen, but it's in His time. Sometimes we have to wait. We definitely have to trust. We need hope. We need peace. We need joy. God gives the promise. He plants the seed, and we wait on Him for the miracle to arrive. As we conclude the service this morning, I just want to conclude with prayer. And I wanted to mention something. Judy prayed something as we were in pre-service prayer, and I thought it aligned really well with what we're talking about here today. And she said that she was having kind of this picture of people kind of dreaming of the future, maybe having firewood sort of kindled, ready to light on fire. So you had prepared the way, like, you know, if you're building a fire, you gather together your kindling, you get your paper, you get your lighter, your matches, and you build the fire, you get it ready, you prepare it before you actually light the fire, right? You know, just clicking a lighter into empty air is just going to give you a lighter. It's not going to give you a campfire. You have to prepare the fire, get the wood ready, stack it up, prepare it. And I was thinking, as we've gone through these past couple weeks, there's other analogies, the seed planted. We talked about Elizabeth and Mary, the babies planted in their wombs, the growth, God preparing the way. And maybe there's something that God has planted in your heart. Maybe, you know, the metaphor of the seed is meaningful to you, to new life, the babies that were planted, that were being born. Maybe the metaphor of kindling a campfire that's ready to go, that's ready to be lit. Maybe God's preparing something in your heart. Maybe God has planted some sort of idea or dream or seed into your life, and you're waiting. You're just wondering, when is it going to happen? I'm ready. I'm waiting for the miracle. I'm waiting for the promise. I'm waiting for God to move. I just want to pray about that as we close this morning. And maybe if that's you, there's probably someone around you. Maybe you've got a spouse, a family member, a friend with you that you can ask to pray with you. If you're waiting on that dream, you're waiting on that promise, you're waiting on that miracle, whatever it is, it could be health, it could be related to work, finances, family, kids, extended family, sickness, whatever it is, you're waiting on God for something. And maybe you need to just turn to someone who's near to you and ask them to pray with you, that you want to dream, you want God to speak into what He's doing in your life. So let's pray together. Lord, we pray as we anticipate this Advent season, we're waiting for the arrival of Jesus. We anticipate what You're doing. Lord, we recognize that we can't make things happen all the time on our own terms. We're waiting for You to move. We're waiting for the miracle, Lord. And I pray for each person here today, Lord, I know that there's people who are sitting here today and wondering about their situation. When is it going to happen? God, what are You up to? What are You doing? Why is this happening? Lord, and I pray that You would speak into our hearts and lives, that You would help the seeds to grow, the things that have been planted in people's lives, the things that You have planted in hearts, that in the right time, Lord, that they would grow. Lord, that the miracle would happen. Lord, that You would break through. Holy Spirit, You are with us here today, And Jesus, we recognize that you are with us right here, right now. It's not just about a baby in the manger. It's not just about looking forward to what you're going to do, but recognizing that you are here with us today, right here, right now. You have arrived. You are with us. Lord, we give you the situations and circumstances of our lives, the things that we're waiting for, the things that we're dreaming, the things that we're longing for, the miracles that we're asking for, Lord. We give them to you. Would you move? Would you speak? Would you break through? Give your blessing to the words that you have spoken. Speak them into life, Lord. We give you this Christmas season as we wait, as we anticipate, as we celebrate, as we look to you. We thank you that you came to earth to be with us, that you did arrive, that you are arriving, and you're with us right now. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Well, hopefully we gave the kitchen enough time to have the food ready, but we want to invite you to stick around for lunch. Don't go anywhere. So what we're going to do is you've got some time to talk and hang out, but we're going to clear these chairs. We're going to roll out a whole bunch of tables, and we're going to transform this room into a banquet hall. So if you want to help stack a few chairs, grab some tables, put the chairs around the tables, get this place set up for an awesome Christmas lunch. Don't go anywhere, and the food is going to be here shortly.